Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, September 21st, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well. And I pray that our time together will be a time of Sabbath rest, a time of spiritual renewal. And it is our custom and our practice when we gather together like this to begin in a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude. And to help usher that in, we start by doing something simple, but when we think about it, quite profound. We begin by taking a big, deep breath. So let's do that together right now. Take in a good breath and hold on to it. And don't just hold it, savor it. And as you let it go, thank God. It's a gift. The breath of life is a gift, is an opportunity to celebrate what is good and true and worthy and lovely and beautiful. So as you breathe, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities and experiences that fill you with joy, that light you up inside. And as these images and pictures and words of encouragement, these people, all of this good stuff comes to mind. Name it. Give thanks to God for all of it. It's all a gift. It's all a gift. Thanks be to God. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky, open your arms out wide. And with gratitude in our hearts and minds, let us join together in worship. Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin in the same place where you found the podcast. Usually it's on the left margin, just below the line. There's a box that says Sermon Notes. If you click on there, the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Brothers and sisters, let us lift up prayers and thanksgivings for all people, for leaders and all in authority, that we may live peaceful and godly lives. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. This is the message we proclaim, and in faith and truth, we come to worship the living God. Thank you. Friends, our scripture reading comes from Paul's first letter to Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable before God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed, a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you. We're so grateful for the gift of this, your good and living word, and for an opportunity to join together and focus our attention on this word and on your presence here with us. And we ask simply this, meet us here. Be our companion in this moment. We also ask that you'd save us. Save us, O God, from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly hear what it is you are saying to each and every one of us as individuals and to your church, the body of Christ. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, the lectionary always blesses us. Before I get started, let me just say something about the lectionary. In our tradition, we follow the Revised Common Lectionary. And if you'd like to know more about that, you can simply go online and look up Revised Common Lectionary. Vanderbilt University really has a great deal of resources on the lectionary, not only the readings for Sundays, but the daily readings. It is a wonderful place to go if you're looking for a way to engage in a practice of daily Bible reading. And every once in a while, the scriptures just come and anoint us in a special way. They come at just the right time. I believe these words from Paul to his protege, his student Timothy, who is pastoring a church in Ephesus, a church that is going through the kind of stuff that churches go through. There's new and false teachings creeping into the congregation. There's infighting and immorality happening amongst them. And Paul is trying to help Timothy navigate all this and to keep the first things first. God is. Christ has come to save us all. And to equip Timothy and to equip the congregation, Paul begins with first things. A submission to God in prayer. And to look at this text, but just read verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. First things first, pray. And that's an entire sermon series in itself. To pray, how do you pray? What's the tradition of prayer? What is the efficacy of prayer? Prayer begs all kinds of questions, good questions. But first and foremost, start. Start by praying. And we can talk more about prayer. You can certainly learn more about prayer in other sermons and in other areas. But that is to have a time of quiet conversation and listening. A time that might involve breathing techniques or certain postures or actions. But time that is your time to be honest and vulnerable with the God who made you and loves you and wants good for you and the world. Paul goes on to say, in getting specific about who he means, who are the everyone's? These everyone's, everyone's, somebody's, y'all's, includes kings and those who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. Given all the trouble in the world right now, given the toxicity of our politics and our political language, and how our politics is not bringing about quiet and peaceable living, is not bringing about godliness and dignity. In fact, it's bringing about quite the opposite. And I think one of our tendencies is to think that chaos is somehow the responsibility of those who have different political viewpoints than we have. I believe Paul contends that the problem isn't the politics or the politicians, although they're rife with problems. That the solution is in the hearts and the minds and the faith of each and every individual. First prayer. First God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You should believe in the Lord your God with everything that you are. A couple of Sundays ago, we meditated on what it might mean for us to hate certain relationships and hate certain things. And as we unpack that, we translated hate as to love less, to diminish in importance things like politics, even family and loving relationships. That if we don't put first things first, if we don't put God first, if we don't let God into our hearts to change the way we think and the way we act in the world, it will have a negative effect on all these other things that are important. This foundational action, this first action, this first truth, this urging supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. Paul encouraging us, I believe, I'm doing some interpreting here, that heaven is happening now. You've heard me say this before. I first really was introduced to this idea, this theological worldview, through the work of Dallas Willard in his book, The Divine Conspiracy. I'm paraphrasing that the good news of Jesus Christ is that heaven is happening now and we can participate in it now. But here's the thing. Hell is happening now too. Hell is happening now too. We don't have to wait for heaven and we don't have to wait for hell. And we can choose to live as citizens of one or the other. That's the choice that's on display. That's the crux of our salvation religion. Is that we're saved from the disorder. If these petitions of prayer, particularly for prayers for people in high places, of people as we often pray at the beginning of our pastoral prayer, people in positions of power and influence, if those prayers lead to a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity, when we stop praying, when we take things into our own minds, into our own actions, into our own petty differences, our own impulses and inclinations, we get quite the opposite. Instead of quiet and peaceable, we get noisy and violent. Instead of a life in all godliness, we find a godless existence. In place of dignity, we get defamation. It's hard right out of the gate to be so heavy, but it is light being spoken into the heaviness. Why do all these things? Paul goes on to say in verse 3, this is right and acceptable before God our Savior. And what is God's desire? Paul says that in verse 4. God desires everyone to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. He goes on to further explain so much in so few verses. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. The one who picked up his cross, spoke truth, love, peace, and justice, knowing full well that truth, love, peace, and justice were anathema to the power and the ego and the authority of the time in which he lived and in the time in which we live as well. To be saved by God through the person of Jesus Christ by making a decision. The first decision is to pray. And for some, it might be a prayer that you prayed a while ago. For maybe some of you, it's a prayer that you never considered praying. Sometimes you hear it in certain circles as giving your life to Christ. Which is just a real simple shorthand, but we could say it this way, that to turn over all my stuff, to empty your pockets, imagine an altar or a table in front of you, and your pockets have all the stuff that you've held on to, deeply held spiritual beliefs, deeply held political beliefs, beliefs about all kinds of worries and money and attitudes, and putting it all on the table until your pockets are empty and turned out. And you put it all out there before God. You give your life to Christ and ask, I don't seem to be able to put this in the right order and in the right place. I need to love a lot of this less. I turn it over to you and ask you to convert it into heavenly currency. I need your help, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. Have mercy on me, a sinner, says the publican in the presence of Christ. And so we ought to pray like the publican, the tax collector. I've operated in this world system long enough, and I find that it's lacking. I need divine guidance. And so to quietly pray, Lord, take all my stuff. I turn it all over to you so that I might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. That is a prayer that will not fail. One of the other gifts that the lectionary gives us is a snapshot into the time of Jeremiah as he prays over the kingdom of Judah. The lectionary gives us in verse 8, 18 through 22, chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Listen, the cry of the daughter of my people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn, and horror has seized me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? When then has the health of the daughter of my people, why then has the health of my daughter, the people, not been restored? And then the lectionary jumps to chapter 9, verse 10. That my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Wow. Heavy, despondent, wondering where the people will find their help. Jeremiah knows where the help will come from. Jeremiah knows that the kingdom of heaven is happening there and then. And for us, we know that the kingdom of heaven is happening here and now. It's eternal. The kingdom of heaven is always. But in a time, in a place where the masses have turned away from the promises of the kingdom of heaven, when they've lost sight of first things, when they can't find the faith or the assurance or the courage to offer supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. It's grief and lament and trying to find a light, a balm. Is there no balm in Gilead? The prophet Jeremiah lays out a stark picture of the human condition when God is rejected, ignored, when God has been taken off of the first things of priority and pushed way down the list. I'll get to the praying and the worship and the sacrifice and the sacrament and the song. Maybe I can make it to church. Maybe I can make it to Mass this week. if I'm not too busy. C.S. Lewis said, and I'll paraphrase this, that the road to hell is a very shallow grade. Very pleasant. It's a very pleasant drive. And you don't even really know you're on it until you get to the end of it. And you realize where you are. The good news is this. Me now adding on to Lewis's thought. That road to hell, that narrow grade with its pleasant distractions and its cool breezes, as it comes to its end with its welcome sign and the stark realization of all the wasted time and the missed opportunities and the exit signs that one passed along the way, it ends in a cul-de-sac. The opportunity to turn around, to repent. And so as we can read Jeremiah's word as he grieves over a community of people and certainly see parallels to our own time and place, we can hear the words of Paul. Yes, there is. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in the United States. There is a balm for the entire world. And to receive that balm begins in prayer. Not just internalized prayer for me and my stuff and my sin and all the things that are going on in my life, my family, my jobs, all of those important petitions of prayer. But to pray over and pray for everyone. People in positions of power, people you might not like, people who you might find disgusting in some way, people you might revere in some way, people who you align with them in their thinking or you are finding that you're absolutely opposite their thinking. There's no criteria. Pray for them. Pray for the people in positions of power and influence as we try to do in worship here live on Sunday or on the podcast. Pray for all people because it is the beginning of the turning and the ascent back to participation in the kingdom of heaven. And you find that as that repentance takes hold, prayer upon prayer, conversation upon conversation, faithful engagement with Scripture, talking about it with like-minded people, people on this road of ascent, praying for and receiving the balm of Gilead, the anointing of Christ. Picking up the cross, offering truth upon truth. We reclaim the gift that we are all given citizenship in the kingdom of the heavens. It's just a choice of whether or not we want to receive that gift. These are hard times. And sometimes, if we're paying attention to too much of the wrong thing, it's a very limited diet of the news cycle, enough to be informed, but not enough to pull you into despair, is probably a wise path ahead. More time with Scripture and prayer and different forms of fasting. That's an anointing balm. And you'll find that your soul will have a little more quiet. Your life will be a little bit more peaceable. You can see the godliness in your friends, in your neighbors, and maybe even those you name as enemies. I just believe, I firmly believe, along with Paul, that the only way forward, the only way to receive this balm and this blessing, and to see a new light on the horizon, to know with confidence that tomorrow will be better than today, begins with prayer. It is remarkable hope and very good news, to which I say, Amen. And so, as instructed by our brother Paul, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this day filled with a myriad of thought and emotion, with joys and concerns. And we seek to put into practice what it is we learn as we engage with your good word. So we come to you in prayer. We pray over this, your good world, this world that you breathed into being when you brought order to chaos. And as the story of humankind has unfolded, there have been glorious moments and deep despair. We hold these in our hearts and we think about the future. But help us to sit firmly in this present moment with you and to pray. To pray for people in positions of power and influence. God, love them. God, hold them close. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And for friends and neighbors, fellow citizens, those with whom we get along well and easily, and those with whom we disagree mightily, God, love them. Love them all. Hold them close. Show us all the way. Prepare for us a way. Indeed, we know you have done that already. Humble us, O God, that we would turn our face toward you, empty our pockets, confess our sin, all of the stuff that we say that we shouldn't say, all of the things we don't say that we ought to say, the impulsive actions that we take that we regret, and the times that we don't act that we regret as well. Help us to be honest with ourselves and with you. And we pray, O God, that you would anoint us with your healing balm of grace so that we would truly experience your peace, your forgiveness, the power of a new life in Christ. And you know us well. And you know that we all have our personal prayer lists. These things that we rehearse in our minds. Sometimes they keep us up at night. Sometimes we see fit to write them down in a list. So we take a moment during this time of prayer to share these lists with you. To trust them into your loving care, into your wisdom. That you would consider them and act upon them. And as we do this, we simply take a moment to sit quietly in your presence. We break our silence. We thank you for the gifts of peace and quiet. And as we celebrate prayer, as we recognize what a beautiful gift it is in our lives, we remember a prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples. We've learned it in different ways. We pray that you'll hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we do so prayerfully and hopefully, lovingly and joyfully, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. The God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.